Hare Krishna, this is Benadar Swami. Is anyone there?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Okay, okay. Amir, anyway, whoever else is listening, you may just have to stay on the line and tell people. But I'm right at the airport right now, and I'm right at the counter. I'm at the Kitchen of Krishna, though.
You're in Delhi?
What's that? Excuse me?
Are you in Delhi?
Fruit. No, fruit. If you have fruit. Yeah, we're right at the counter right now. I'm in Delhi. I'm on my way to Israel.
Oh.
So I'm going there for 10 days. And anyway, this fog and the flight is very, very delayed, so we're trying to work that out, but that's okay. Okay, so just stay online if anybody else. I don't know who else is on. Probably people already hung up. Anybody else on like to say Hare Krishna?
There are at least three other people. There are at least three other parties on.
Okay, anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Other people, okay. It's holidays and things like that.
It's New Year's Eve.
Well, I'll say something because some people may be on, but then we'll see what happens. I was at on the way out of here, I was at a nice Indian family. Somehow we left the airport by midnight. We did kirtan at their house. Very nice people, kind of friends of mine. And we had a discussion, and they actually are very pious people. So they gave me a nice definition of faith. And I can at least, in the beginning of a new year, at least repeat that. And the definition of faith is a belief in something you can't see, but by having it, but that belief will, but that belief will enable you to see it. I mean, real shraddha, real faith. It's faith in something that's beyond your perception, but by that faith, you'll actually be able to see it. So that's the basis of spiritual life. It's that shraddha. And that's what comes in disciplic succession. That's what's transferred. Amanda Bhamate, Konya Bhagavan Ji, Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai Bhakti Lata. That we're wandering from universe to universe, from planet to planet. Until we get to Bhakti Lata Beach, and that's the seed of devotional service, and that seed is Shraddha. Basically, it's faith in what? It's faith in Bhakti. Faith that serving Krishna will lead to something sublime. And it's a real conviction, and with that faith, it's the basis of practicing, because practice, sadhana, it also entails effort, sacrifice, sometimes austerity. Why will people make sacrifice? Unless they have convinced about the fruit of sacrifice. One second, can you take off this, and, you know, because you're on this other flight, and then I get, and then peel these things, these two things together, and put this in the one of these pockets here. what's happening right now? If you wanted to pay attention, also the top things here. One second. Put it down. Oh, just put it flat down. This way. Put this here, and put this in. There you go. Yeah, we're kind of packing. So, that's the conviction. That conviction that there's a sublimity as a result of the activity. But the conviction comes from the pace and sublimity of doing the activity itself, and therefore the whole progression of shraddha, the frame, it's actually all shraddha. It's just different degrees of faith. It's not just I believe or I don't believe. It's an experience that you have. Yeah? What? Thanks a lot. Yeah. Yeah. Someone just got on that's probably cooking or something. Someone just got on the phone that's probably cooking or doing something and not muting their phone, and we can't. Thank you. There you go. Who's that? Okay, thank you. Anyway, it's the new year, so it's the most important thing. And Shraddha to praying, the different stages that Rupa Goswami, different stages of faith. The first basic stage of faith is an appreciation that this is a very good thing. Some kind of attraction, somehow. And that comes by mercy, and actually faith comes by mercy. Bhakti is a process which is anugraha, it's mercy. Everything is mercy. Somehow or other, it's causeless mercy, and that's our faith. And by having that faith, one develops such a deep appreciation and love for God as the bestower of causeless mercy. I'm really multitasking now because I'm right in the middle of the airport, so I'm kind of watching the tension to finally get our tickets. The flight is 7 hours late, so let me check this. I hate to bore you. Have everything? Okay, please. Thank you, sir. Okay. Okay, Akinchina, you got all my stuff? We got our tickets? Okay. I actually was supposed to cancel the class, and I kind of realized this morning that it's kind of Thursday. Akinchina, we're not in a rush. Let's just get 1 minute here. Anybody else just like to say Happy New Year? That's on. Hami, are you still there?
I'm here. I heard at least
okay.
The other people.
Anybody else?
But maybe the other parties
that's
are
okay.
On the podcast.
No, that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Some people, they're welcome.
Hi, Hi, Krishna. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, Gail.
Who is that? Okay.
Happy New Year, Maharaj.
Good.
Maharaj, happy.
Who's that?
Happy New Year.
Who?
Begavitri.
That last one. Oh, that's Gail.
Yeah.
Oh, Begavitri. I'm really
Sunday.
Sorry that I can't give more today, but what happened is I'm on my way out on a flight, and I didn't realize it was Thursday, and when it got exactly at 7:30 is exactly when I have to count there. And Krishna put us through the it's a rope, it's a snake, because Israel, and we're doing a retreat, and the devotees even rented a retreat center. But the retreat is me, basically, doing the whole retreat. And the plan was, is I would arrive at 2 in the afternoon, they would take me to one house, I would shower up, I would take prasadam, and then I'd go to the retreat, I guess, which would be corresponding till Thursday night there. But there's so much fog in Delhi that the flight is 8 hours late, so I'm going to wind up arriving at 2 in the morning. But it's nice because it's a test. I was saying to Akinchina in Vrindavan, I was leading a charmed life, and, you know, karmically, whatever it is, it couldn't have been better, but I wasn't such a fool to think that the life, the world goes according to my desires. And that I can control everything, and I know you have to be detached, because if you become attached to the times where everything is going your way, then you have the duality when it doesn't. So it's really attached to, you have my passport too? Yeah. It's just a test just to see Krishna's will in everything and trying to practice what Prabhupada taught. trying to practice what Prabhupada taught. Attention, are we going? Okay. Trying to practice what Prabhupada taught and through Bhagavad Gita to be equal poised and to see everything as God's mercy and try to extract the best out of every situation. So it got to a point where they were going to shift us to this other flight, and we kind of really, in a nice way, pushed our way to not the front, but we were just alert enough to go with one lady that was shifting someone else, and they got us on this other flight, and our luggage went in, and our tickets were printed, and it just never ended. The lady was there for 30 minutes, and then she told us that the connecting flight wasn't accepting any more seats or something. They had seats, but they weren't. So it was a snake. It was one thing, it was another. And we just saw, in one sense, okay, Krishna's playing with us, and he's teaching us the lesson that he teaches everybody else in this world. And that lesson is we're just not the controllers. And I always make that point. There's such a connection between being the controller and being the enjoyer. Because unless you're the controller, you can't be the enjoyer. Because enjoyment requires that things move according to your desire. And therefore it requires that you're God. And because you're not God, you can't be happy. Because the world is moving according to the desires of another. And if you love that person, you can never be happy. But loving that person is actually our constitutional position, and by doing so, then there's no duality in our life. There's no duality in our life. Happiness, distress, you know, we become like the transcendental mailman. Sleet or shine, rain or shine, you know, in the New York Post Office, they list all the dualities in New York, and rain or shine or sleet or snow, you always, you know. And it was interesting, too. Maybe like four or five times in the last 40 years, I wore, quote, Carmi clothes. Just clothes
oh
of food.
Wow, I would have loved to have seen that. Wow.
Oh, hey, Kinshina, you have that camera?
Gail
wants a picture.
Oh, God. I got to have that.
Hey, Gail, I don't make it target. So what happens is because last time I went in, we stopped in Turkey, and then I went to visit this devotee in Turkey. Which was a Ritvik. But I just appreciated that he was worshiping Prabhupada. He let me stay at his place for 2 days because I had a connecting flight. It was missed, and I gave a donation. Wow, I lost my train of thought there, Gail, I just said. And what happens is, somehow or other, people still come up to me. And I noticed that once when I was getting into Israel, that when you don't wear, you know, when you don't wear clothes for years, and, you know, then somehow when you put them on, it just looks otherworldly. I saw that, so I put the, and in Israel, they're so good on that. They have one special line, which is kind of, I don't know what kind of profiling it is, but whatever it is, they profile me. The lady just said, okay, that line. And they don't say what it is, but it's a special line where they check the people, and what they said, okay, open up your computer. Let's see the first email. So it's, but it's nice. And it's just so nice. You actually see how much we have to share. So people just would somehow still come up to me So one lady came up to me, and she was in this, trying to get her kids to New York, and she turned to me, and she said to me, it was like an Indian lady, but very, very westernized. She actually had a German scientist wife, and they live in the same place that the Clintons live in upstate New York, Chopper something upstate New York. And she looked at me, and she was so frazzled, and she looked at me, and she said, we'll have to practice our Zen now. And then I looked at her and I said, actually, you know, I'm a monk. She didn't know I was a monk. And I explained it to her. And yeah, people were just interested in spiritual life, and so that's it. But I don't know. It's quite a mode in the airport. And I've been meditating on that. I'm just speaking extemporaneously. And it gives me a chance even here to speak. But thinking about that, too, how traveling, see, the nature of passion is movement. That's why when you're in passion, you're restless. The nature of goodness is, you know, kind of stationary, basically. You're satisfied, but it is. You don't want to change. So I'm just seeing how powerful the environment is on consciousness. Here I'm just like moving. And that movement itself, it creates a restlessness, which is the dilemma of the sannyasi. Because sannyasi should be the mode of goodness, cultivating the mode of goodness, but not attached to the mode of goodness. Like Narada Muni, he was attached, Himalayas, very peaceful for the mind. And therefore, he couldn't see Vishnu again because he had a material taint. And what is that material taint? That material taint is he was attached to goodness. And attachment is passion. So now then he had to go preach and cultivate his service attitude, which is the ultimate transcendental position. But I can see the effects on the... I'm actually writing a paper now on Vedic psychology. And I've written different principles, and I've showed them to people they like. The first principle is that the mind is malleable. The mind is very, very constantly changing. And even the analogy is given by some commentators. Like clay can be molded in any way. And the shape of that the mind will be in, and basically the three shapes of the modes, which have different effects and different moods and different feelings and different symptoms. And definitely we want to be in goodness. Or we want our passion, ignorance, to be ruled by goodness. Because you can't do anything without passion. Passion is movement. But if it's ruled by goodness, it's used for goodness. It's used for purification. It's used for elevating the mind. And you also need ignorance because you have to go to sleep. But that also has to be used. But generally, we want to cultivate goodness. And I came up with three things that influence the shape of the mind or the mood or of the mind. And you really could have a great control on your sentiments and moods. This is what I wanted to show. And I can see it. I can see it here. One is the environment. Whatever shape the environment is, it's going to have an influence to move your mind in the same way. It doesn't have to move the mind the same way because the impressions that come from the environment, if one is mindful and thoughtful and on the platform of intelligence, he can digest those impressions and put them in the consciousness in any way he wants. Like, for example, the opposite sex, beautiful opposite sex can evoke passion. But it doesn't have to evoke passion. If one has or the degree that it can invoke passion will depend on one's intelligence and how he digests it and has that impression come into the consciousness. You know, and it's not everything the intelligence can digest it. You train up the intelligence, you can digest it. But you don't willingly put yourself in environments of passion and ignorance. Just that you can't avoid it. Just like here I am. What is this? This is the airport with thousands of raging, fogged out people. You know, so it's a test, and it's nice to see how you can digest the circumstances due to the mercy of Guru, mercy of Prabhupada, the intelligence, the knowledge he gives us, and how to respond. So that's the environment. And the other thing that affects the consciousness is, we're okay? Okay. The other thing that affects the consciousness is actions. So there's the environment and there's action. So, you know, if you act in a principled way, it invokes goodness. It can invoke the right thing if you act in a principled way in your situations, if you act in a passionate way. And so your actions affect the shape of your mind, and that's why it's so important to hear philosophy and hear and be trained up in knowledge and understanding. And then the third thing, and it's going to be a work in progress, because as I go, and if people ask that, is our karma. And we can see that somehow or other, someone, by something he's done in the past, can be overcome by inertia. You know, can be overcome by lust or passion. Could feel more. So there's also, with dealing with karma, that different challenges that are given to us to help invoke in us different understandings and responses. So it's all a kind of strategy, actually, on how to deal with mind. And also, part of karma is the impressions in the consciousness that come up. Anyway, this is my basic theory, and I'm going to actually develop it differently. Anyway, I'm kind of rambling on. I don't have a text before me, but I wanted to do something on New Year's, and okay. I should be for the class on Sunday. I should be okay on Sunday and next Wednesday, and next Sunday I'll be in Israel. I do read the newspapers enough to know what's going on there. But I also know a little bit about it. It's okay for me to go. Okay, anybody else like to say Hare Krishna or ask a question? Any questions?
Are you landing in Tel Aviv?
Yeah, I arrive in Tel Aviv, and then they pick me up and they take me to the retreat.
So far,
yeah.
The rockets haven't reached that
point.
So far, the rockets haven't reached that far.
Anyway, I'm not worried. We're going up north anyway for that retreat. And it's nice, and Akinchen is coming with me. So we're going to do a lot of kirtan. The program in my house in Kartik was great, and not Kartik, in November, December, so many nice people coming, doing kirtan. Okay, anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Maharaj. It's Bhagavati.
Yes, Hare Krishna.
As Kalini,
nice to
as
hear from
mother.
You. What's
Did
that?
You hear mother Kalini and Swarga are also here.
Oh, my God. Then I'm really happy I can get on and I could say something. You know, it's not my regular class, but at least we got to chat. And, well, it's very interesting. You remember my cousin, Maseva? She, you know, came to visit me for 2 weeks, wound up staying for 6 weeks, and underwent the most incredible transformation. You know, she's now chanting 16 rounds, and she's even going to go to Mayapur.
Oh, Mara.
There's one very nice lady who preaches in Bangladesh, but she stayed at the Kirtan Ashram, and she found that so conducive. You know, she met with Shaka Priya,
nice.
And there's a lady, Krishangi, there, and Nanda from Alachua, and Jamuna, and she would have a lot of association with God sister Jamuna, and she just transformed and in a very open way, frankly admitted that you know, the sweetness that she was looking for really in life, she's finding within Krishna consciousness. So that's anyway.
Great
prayers to Mother Kalini that her health should be okay,
oh.
And Swaga. Okay, Happy New Year, Hare Krishna.
Happy New Year.
Thank you for listening. Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? This is kind of an informal class. I don't know what people downloading on the podcast. But anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, then.
This is Gail again. I just want to ask you, you know, on I think Sunday, you had mentioned that you had written an article on hearing from sacred texts. And I was wondering where that article can be found.
It's not yet up. It's really finished. It went for a final edit, but it's not yet up. But what I want to do is present the superiority of bhakti. And I'm just talking about Shravanam. I gave this on Janmashtami because I was speaking outside on Janmashtami to non-devotees in a yoga thing up in Kasturba's place. And I wanted to present something relevant. So before I told the Krishna book stories, I somehow kind of thought of these seven ways in which hearing purifies the consciousness. And the main way is the last way, is that it pleases Krishna. Krishna is a person, and he reciprocates with your desire to hear from him for the purpose of purification. So when you just hear about Krishna as a devotion, he reciprocates in the heart and fulfills the desire of one hearing. Why are we hearing? You want to be purified in the heart. Another good reason is the Shastra presents exemplars. And the main way in which someone is socialized, in other words, not conditioned is the wrong word, but socialized to some ideal. Like if parents want to socialize their kids to some ideal, the best way they can do is by presenting that ideal in their lives themselves. That's the most important thing. If you have affection for someone, then that creates a conduit for their qualities. So that's one of the. So the Shastra presents the exemplars. of devotion. And when you hear about them, and you actually have, you know, because you're hearing about them means you have some attraction to them, some affection to them, and naturally those qualities come to your heart. That's the whole basis of Raganuga Bhakti. The whole basis of Raganuga Bhakti is you're following exemplars. And if you're developing an attraction to them, then you start to do the activities they do, and in the mood they do them. And it's in one sense, I'd say that it's not rocket science. Because the main thing that they do in the spiritual world is they do kirtan. Mother Yasoda does kirtan in the morning when she's cooking for Krishna. The cowherd boys do kirtan. The gopis do kirtan. What is the gopi geet? What are all these geetas? They're songs by the gopis. The main thing that we're following that's presented in the Shastra, Raganuga Bhakti is based on the five chapters. When you look at those five chapters, what are they? The gopis. And what is their mood? And how does their mood express? It's in kirtan. So I like to be like that. I want to serve Krishna like that. And therefore, I will chant like that. But you chant in the mood of a sadhaka, because it's still a practice for you to achieve that. While their chanting is a sadhya, it's the result of their devotion. So that's the only difference. It's the same activity. But when the gopis are singing, it's a result of their devotion. And when we're singing, it's a practice to attain that devotion. So the Shastra is so important to just hear with faith about these spiritual exemplars. It's just a, you know, I'm looking at the process of, I'm speaking with a Kinshina too, because we have some ideas now to perhaps do with what I did in japa meditation, and I hope I can get some of those books to America. I can, they're already, I shipped half to America. They should arrive today, tomorrow, next day, and then we can kind of start sending them out. But I printed 750. They're practically all gone in India already. They're just going so fast. So we thought perhaps something on the mood and techniques of praying kirtan, not just kirtan. What makes praying kirtan, devotional kirtan? And one thing in my discussion with him, you know, how powerful kirtan is. We did kirtan for New Year's Eve at these Indians' house before we went. And how powerful kirtan is. And, you know, especially in the modern world, because I was speaking to a Kinshina that it really can capture people, and it's really, it almost like purifies people's listening to rock and roll when they were young, because it creates some star that they love music, they love deep. And then all of a sudden you're playing this incredible drum, and people start, you know, become absorbed. But it's not just the drum. The drum is supporting these mantras. There's so many reasons. And we're also talking, when you do kirtan, and you do kirtan to people who are not devotees, see, then it adds an element of compassion. And I'm also kind of developing a theory, not a theory, but from Shastra, and I know, is that, you know, we want this prema, but we access that prema in certain spiritual attitudes that we can exhibit in this world. One is humility. One is guru nishtha. One is gratitude. One is compassion. And Prabhupada was really fixed that this mood of compassion and serving Lord Chaitanya in that mood. So when you do kirtan and there's other people there, you can access some sense of compassion, which will give you another door to spiritual sentiment. And if you look at the opposite, and if you are, what's the hateful, envious, then how can it be prema? Because that's going to be the core attitudes, that whatever thoughts you have on higher subjects are there. it doesn't work. And Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta do that. Especially in the Kali Yuga where people have so many samskaras to deal with. So many things in the mind to deal with that you want that prema. You just got to be very humble and grateful. And gratitude is really so important. Satchinandana Swami says when he takes a shower in the morning, he said it's so boring. So when he's taking a shower, he doesn't waste his time. Adyakta Kali Twam, pure devotee doesn't waste a moment. That's one of the main things. That he thinks of something that he's grateful for. And he was explaining that how, and you know, because he has shudder or faith when he says something, it has a big effect. He said, oh, how much that will change your consciousness. But what? To change it to what? To change it to the mood that we're aspiring for in the spiritual world. The Brijbasis are so grateful. That's why, even though Nanda Maharaj had a heavy injury, Yajna, and you know it was the wrong thing to do, he should have been preparing it for Govardhan Hill. But the commentators say, just see the simple hearts of the Brijbasis. They were grateful because they got rain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting here in this airport also, you know, you can't make demands. And you always have to be grateful. You have to be grateful if you go. You have to be grateful if you don't go.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot to be grateful for. I mean, I'm just thinking of Nama Shrestham Manumapi Sachi Putram Atra Sarupam Rupam Tasyaga Gavuru. We got the holy name. We got Vrindavan. We got the devotees. We got spiritual life. We got some transcendental knowledge. Without transcendental knowledge, people have no ability to digest this world. It just degrades them constantly, even in their attitudes. It makes them more morose, more anxiety, more bitter. Without transcendental knowledge, you can't digest. It's not that if you become a devotee, you're going to have nothing to digest. But you'll have the power to digest it. It may not taste good, but you can digest it. Now, if it doesn't taste good and you can't digest it, now that's a real problem. And you're being force-fed it by your karma. So, anyway, Gail, you have to understand where I'm just, it's really...
I know, but there's still... Can you still go down the other five... benefits of hearing? Because you mentioned two of them so far.
I gave two. It's chit shakti, when the mind associates with Krishna in the form of sound, which is very absorbing. There's a relationship between us and Krishna. So just like a relationship means natural attraction, like magnet, and that natural attraction for God is self-realization. That's what our soul is. Our soul is a receptacle for the you know, it is. Soul is consciousness to serve God. My mind couldn't think of any more now, Gail. Well, normally I could churn up to be determined, but we are a little, because we didn't really sleep last night either. But so, like people, thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, I feel satisfied. At least I gave people 45 minutes. And I miss you all. And I hope to see you soon. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Happy New Year, Gail.
Oh, Amir, I wanted to... Okay,
I'm going to hang up. If you ladies want to chant,
Happy New Year, Maharaj.
Okay, be my guest, okay? I'm hanging up, but you can stay
happy
on.
Happy and safe landing.
That would be so. Thank you.